Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hey, Sam Crowley. Welcome back to part two of two in our interview with Shane Harden, Matt Ball, pastors of Branches Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And I am drilling them on the concept of being a Christian entrepreneur. And when we left off on yesterday's show, Matt was just about to answer the question. I said, come on, man, don't you worry, like, or think about, come on, God, I planted this church 2 years ago, and I see all my friends and other people with these nice houses and great cars and all this money, and where's my comeuppance, man? I want some of that money. So I'll take it back just a minute before Matt answers that question here on today's show, and enjoy it. Matt and Shane are great guys, so they have a lot of wisdom on this topic because they really are Christian entrepreneurs. Enjoy part two. Here you go. Not just to buy a new Mercedes like you got parked with the stained glass windows in the driveway.
Right. Yep.
I mean, to be able to
with just, the purple lights underneath and
because you're human, man. You gotta look at people that got nice things and toys and stuff. You gotta be human and say, look, I've been doing this thing for 2 years now. Come on, God, I planted this church. Let's get moving, man. I want to enjoy life a little bit.
You know, it's sure, you could instantly say, well, I'm not in it for the money. And no, you know, knowing that you're going into a church or any business where you have no market, you have no guaranteed revenue stream, you have nothing that happens, you instantly have to come to terms with the fact that it's not about that. That's not the overall. I want to be able to live. I want to be able to feed my family. I want my family to be able to not worry every Friday or, you know, the end of the month. And that's awesome. But I feel like I'm blessed. I feel like my house is more than I deserve. I feel like, sure, I've got, you know, I'm an AV geek. Like I said, I've got more toys than probably a lot of people do. And so I have been very, very fortunate. And I thank God for it all the time.
Do you want for anything tangible?
It's hard. Like, I just had my birthday last week.
Hey, happy birthday,
well,
by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
Did you get the card with the 50 bucks in it?
Well, it's in the mail.
So I get the question, then, what do you want for your birthday? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Right.
I have no, because I don't need anything. There's nothing that I want.
That's pastor talk, man. Come on.
And anything that I want, I buy myself. Yep. You know? And so I'm trying to think about the question. You know,
well, do you want for anything originally? That's just my follow-up, because originally when you guys plant a church, I mean, you're putting the flags up out front in the morning. It's raining. It's snowing. You're taking photographs. You're doing video. You're writing a sermon. And as entrepreneurs, we want to know that all the work we do up front, for us, it's monetarily so we can enjoy the, like Dave Ramsey says, live like nobody wants to now so you can live like nobody can down the road, you know? And I got to think, at least it might go through your mind, and maybe it doesn't, that, hey, we're planning this church. Hopefully we can get this up to a financial structure. We can take a few weeks off, enjoy ourselves, and that costs money,
well,
man.
And I think money is part of it, but just the feeling of accomplishment and success is a big thing of it too. And so the success comes in so many different ways. Money is one of the things that we use to measure success, right? Yeah. There are so many other intangibles,
right,
or less monetary.
Do churches use money, like a budget? Do they use that to measure how good they're doing against other churches to say this is how much we've brought in? No?
Not in that way. We use it as a sign to say, to help us understand that people are connecting.
Right. Yeah.
If people aren't giving to help fund the church, then obviously we're either failing in helping communicate the message, or we're failing in helping people understand that this is one way to make sure other people can know about it. And so, no, it's not saying we're not successful if we don't make money, mm-hmm, but if we can't fund the operation,
then
obviously
down.
It's not possible, and people aren't connected to the vision and what the future of this church might look like.
Yeah. And I think, Matt, one thing, and maybe you're too humble to say this, but I know within Matt's work as a videographer and the tech stuff that he does and produces, there is a lot of money to be made in that industry.
Yeah.
And he is incredibly gifted at that. And they're doing well. They're not, you know, billionaires or millionaires even. I wish you were. That would be great.
Make the church thing a whole lot easier.
But I will. It keeps coming back that he has a different reaction. I'd love for you to talk about that at all. He has a different passion when it comes to being a pastor and a minister than that. And he's doing that so he can fulfill the calling of being a pastor. And it is, it's great to live without, I mean, I don't walk around desiring really anything. Yeah. Instead, my success, when I look at it, is God's utilizing my family to have, you know, 10 families want to dedicate their babies at our church and, you know, 11 to 12 baptisms in another week, that thing where life is changing. So, you know, you talk about Dave Ramsey, you make money so you can enjoy life. We do ministry so people can have a life like they've never had before.
Yeah.
And
it shows. It does show at Branches.
I hope so.
It does. I guess I should mention, by the way, I haven't even mentioned the website yet, branchischurch.us, where you can plug into more Shane and Matt's message. Matt, do you remember how we first deal we did?
Yeah, I remember shooting a video of a soldier a long time ago. I'm trying to think of...
Even before that, my very first YouTube video was April of 2007. So that was 7 years ago this month.
Wow.
I quit my job for the second time. And I called Matt at the church. And I said, hey, man, I'm coming over in 10 minutes. I got to throw you $20 to shoot a video outside. And we shot a video. It only cost me $20 back then, though.
I don't know about
50
that.
50 maybe, because I felt bad you were a pastor or you were in the church. I always think God's going to strike me with lightning if I don't
you
take
did
care
a lot of,
people.
Of pro bono stuff then, maybe.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, dude. And now, Matt Ball, by the way, those of you that go to podcasthouse.com and you see the video of me driving around Loveland or you see any of the other like good videos that are out there, Matt shoots those for me. I wish it was still $50, man, but you're...
He is trying to get a deal right here on his podcast.
Right on the podcast.
That is ruthless.
Yeah, no doubt. I have no shame, man. I have no shame. But when you talk about, you know, being an entrepreneur, I just want to try to help people understand. If you're a Christian and you're feeling called by God, knowing what that calling is, and it's not the wrong calling. Like, it's not you...
Selfishness.
It's not selfishness. Like, the first time that I tried to buy the Quiznos was completely just stupid. You know, that was not of God. I can look back on it now. I didn't know it at the time. Like, at the time, I felt something stirring. You know what I mean? But it wasn't the right thing. I shouldn't have done... It was pride and ego that got in the way. I hated my job, my boss, and I was full of all these negative things, you know? And I see how you guys planted a church, and it was really positive. You never focused on what was going on in the rearview mirror. You always focused on the windshield, like what you guys were doing moving forward. So
I'm so glad he sees that.
What's that?
That's good.
That's what I saw when you guys were going through it. I didn't see any negativity. Like, you know, we were just, I had a staff, and I was running the AV, and now we got to set this up every week and do that. But I've seen the hard work, and I see now the hard work starting to pay off and the steady... you know, a couple hundred people now every single week. It's good. I mean, ahead of where a church plant would be after a year or two, right?
It is.
So what do you think, advice for a Christian entrepreneur, knowing where that's coming from, man? I mean, I keep going back to that because that's a big one. You make the wrong move, you know, your wife or your husband may not be that understanding. You heard what? God told you. What are you doing talking to God about your business?
Like I said, I didn't step blindly. It wasn't. And each time that I take a step of faith, the steps get slightly bigger and slightly bigger and slightly bigger.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The first step of faith may be to have a conversation. It may be.
What was the first step of faith in planting the church? Did you and Shane go to have coffee or anything like that? Were you even thinking about planting a church together?
We had had a boss, another pastor that was in both of our lives that kept not, you know, separate from each other. It wasn't together. Even though Shane was my boss for a bunch of years, hired me on as the, you know, former wedding videographer to maybe make some videos for a weekend. And maybe someday we might be able to use videos on a sermon.
That's so funny.
And
he worked it at the bone at the
absolutely.
Church, dude. Can we just get that out
we
here,
We did
too?
Have some discussions back then, even before this other pastor, of saying, hey, man, if we could do this. But it was a dream. It wasn't. And then it took somebody speaking into us, hey, you guys, when are you doing this? And when he realistically started speaking to us like that, we were...
And so it was 2 and 3 years of that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as though someone said, hey, you're good at that. Go start your business.
Who should people find, like you found the pastor, who should people go look to for affirmation about their faith? And who is it really God's will to do?
It was a spiritual mentor of mine. It wasn't necessarily a pastor. In this case, it happened to be, but
how
I was
do you find
pastors.
A good spiritual mentor that you trust?
You can't find it outside the church. That's what I would say. It's... A church,
it's got to be inside the
that's
church.
Part of it doesn't have to be inside the church, but the church is going to be a place where those type of mentors go.
Who do you ask? Like, if you don't have a spiritual mentor, where
you go to the staff
the
and
question?
You say, hey,
can you connect me with
pastoral
somebody?
Staff? I need a mentor in my life. Can you partner me with that person?
A business Christian entrepreneurial
exactly.
mentor, or I need it. Okay, so you
if
say it just
if
like
that's
that.
Who you are, that's who I'd say that's who you need to be. But if you're somebody saying, I want to go into ministry, you need to be with a pastor who's mentoring you. If you want to go and lead ladies' Bible studies or whatever impact your work and you're a lady, then I'd say somebody that does that needs to be mentoring you. The same thing.
Because Shane has, comes out of being a worship pastor, and I know he's had conversations of people saying, well, I like to play the piano, so I want to be a worship pastor.
Right, right.
And yet they are so shy, they can't even look at you in the middle of a conversation. And so just right then, that person, whether they were a spiritual mentor or just a friend around, would be the person, like on the American Idol, to say, you know what? Keep seeking that. I don't know that that's for you right now. And it may be that God wants to do that down the road, but keep working on that and keep praying for that and keep seeking God on that and keep developing. You know, it wasn't as though I had never spoken in front of people before.
Right.
I mean,
right.
People feel a call to ministry and yet have unbelievable stage fright. Yeah. And God uses all sorts of people, an ex-stutterer to turn into a podcast,
right?
I've heard somebody talk about that before.
Yeah, man.
But, and God does those things, but he doesn't do them necessarily all the time aside from our work. And so our efforts and our work towards it can be blessed by God and affirmed all the way along. And so like we talked about, 2 and 3 years of people speaking in, maybe you should consider that, and maybe you should think about that as we sit in meeting after meeting, learning how to write a service and prepare a service, learning how to craft a message and develop so that we're spiritually or so that we're biblically confirmed and we're speaking the right things, because the Bible talks about how pastors are held accountable at a whole new level.
Correct.
And so there's a lot of risk becoming a pastor. Because when we get to heaven someday, God's going to say, dude, you blew it. Or he's going to say, you know what? You followed my leading and you taught the things that were taught to you. And that is all I've ever asked of you.
What do you guys think of these pastors? I'll go back to Shane. What do you think of these pastors with their own plane doing these mega 18,000 people events and bringing people up on stage and healing them right there and making a lot of money from the live event and things like that?
There's so many things in that question right now.
I just thought pastor's money.
A wealthy pastor, I would say, I think...
God wants you to have
God
nice
wants
things.
You to... Just like I said in our very first podcast about money with you that you and I spoke about, that, we need to pray for that pastor, because the difficulty for him is the responsibility that God has given him is going to be so heavy that his responsibility with that money... I would never judge the airplane, the Coliseum that he's in, but I would definitely say we as believers have to pray for that person and say they are in a battle.
Because people looking at them from the outside,
sure.
Oh, look at a $3,000 suit.
They're in a battle for their life.
And it's polar. I mean, because you've got people that are that, but you've also got 18,000 people showing up for church on Sunday. And so God wants you to have nice things, but to whom much is given, much is expected.
Right.
And so in the same way, the more and more that he's being blessed financially and with a larger platform, the harder it'll be, the more attacks that will be coming against him. And so who knows every decision that he's ever made or that I've ever made. It's probably easier to be a poor pastor than it is to be a wealthy pastor.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because I then have less to be responsible for. I have less to be accountable for. I'm not expected to give to all these things, even though I should still be.
Yeah.
And so it is by no means our place to judge or speak into what they're doing or how they're doing it. All I know is that the Bible talks about God wants to bless you on earth and in heaven. Different ways, different for every scenario, all sorts of different things. But God likes nice things, but he wants you to do with them what he wants you to do with them. And so it's always seeking God first to find out, what is it that you would have me do with this money, with this house? And, you know, God's blessed me with a great house, and now the youth meet there every week. You know, I've been given an opportunity to open it up. And so I've used my little thing and said, okay, God, do this. And so when the next thing happens, I have to first be prepared to say, okay, God, this is actually yours to use. I just happen to have possession of it.
You know, I need to do more. I feel, you guys here, man, it's making me uncomfortable now because I've got this big house. And I don't use it for anything. Now, I'm looking at you. I know you. We do small group at Shane's house. You've got the youth at your house. And, you know, I watch 24 on Amazon Prime.
You'd be a great small group leader.
I should be a small group leader, but I got to learn my Bible verses, man, because somebody's going to come over in my small group, and they're going to, you know, whip out a verse, and they're going to be, Sam, you know, go to Jeremiah 3, and I'm gonna be like,
there's nothing wrong with saying, we'll learn it together.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me research and get back to you.
We talk about money a lot on this show, and it's not because I'm in love with it. It's because 99.9% of people who listen to podcasts want to be or are currently an entrepreneur. And so if we're going to do a show on Sunday, we want to just keep it real and talk about, you know, the Christian entrepreneurial and how money works. And Shane and I had a great discussion a couple of weeks ago and mirrored what you just said, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected, and how you can use that. If somebody's an entrepreneur right now and they've got a lot of money and they're a Christian,
Let me give you my address.
should they start? This is actually.
We're trying to build a church, man.
Yeah, I know. Hey, I get that. I received that message. I know we also got to wrap up the show. We're coming up on 40 minutes, which is great. I appreciate you guys' time. Even though you cut into my show a little bit before with some pre-show stuff, but that's off. We'll keep that one off podcast. And I forgive both of you.
Can they watch that on the O Network?
No, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Should you start shedding your money? Should you start giving it all away when you become like 70 years old and you've got $800 million and give it? I mean, you can't tie a U-Haul to your hearse, man.
Exactly.
You know?
But I definitely think the responsibility of knowing what to do with that money, and the good thing is there's a greater responsibility for them. And we're responsible for what we have. And you're right. You can't take it with you. And God calls us to help those that need it. And there is a world out there doing that right now. You know, it's kind of the in thing to give to those in need. And I love that. And the give back. And, you know, it's an amazing responsibility. Lots of weight on those that have a lot of money. Even this morning, as I left Panera right before this meeting, this man stops me and is a seeker that I've run into often there. And he asks me questions about God but he's an entrepreneur, business owner here in the city, very wealthy, and is very critical of a big mainline church here in the city. And one question about our church and what we're doing here in Loveland, he instantly compared it to, so are you threatened by this other church? And I'm like, well, no. And I'm like, there's always a place for ministry. And it went from that to the next question. And he instantly jumped on how much money the pastor of this big mega church here in the city has.
Yeah.
And then his credibility. And so people watch and are intent.
They do.
Intense.
But I don't think a pastor shouldn't have a nice car.
No, God wants to bless them. And if they're living it and they're God's blessing on their lives, but are they fully giving all of that blessing, are they receiving all of that as a blessing from God? And are they being responsible for what they're supposed to give away?
Yeah.
And I really believe that, again, we should be in prayer for those that have much.
What's the statistic of the amount of people who tithe again?
Keep in mind, it's not the people that give to the church in general. A tithe by definition is 10%. So,
right.
And then there's all the debate of pre-tax, post-tax, all those other things. How much should you give? And the stat is that less than 2% of Christians across the country tithe their full amount, 10%, tithe that 10%.
That is,
Now, lots and lots more people give to a church, and whether that's at Christmas and into your tax shelter and who knows all these other things. But it goes back to a heart issue. You know, if you are not feeling like you are supposed to give, or you are begrudgingly giving, or then don't even bother.
Yeah.
Put it in your 401k.
Give till it hurts, man. Till it hurts.
Don't even bother until you're at a point where you're saying, okay, you know what? I realize that this money is God's blessing to me, and I'm just going to give.
Come on, man. 2%, give 10%.
It's real, and I have to admit that
I'm going
to
judge them right here on the show.
I came to a conviction of this, you know, in the not too distant past, you know, where it was really getting to a point where, sure, I'd give a check here and there whenever I thought about it, but how often do I carry a checkbook around?
Right.
You know, and the $20 in my wallet is not as far cry from the 10%. And so for a long time, yeah, I gave to the church, and I'd get to my accountant at the end of the year, and I'd realize, oh, you know, I gave 3%. Well, that was better than the 2% I did last year. I'm succeeding.
Yeah.
And until I really came to a point where it was like, okay, God, wow, you want to bless me. And this is the one area in Scripture where he says, test me.
Dare me.
See if I'll put your money where my mouth is, you know? And God's really saying, I want to give you nice things. I want to give you these resources to do with it on earth that you can. But until you start using your money the way that I want you to, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And that, you know, some people are able to be blessed and they're not giving away. And God's got a reason for that. And I'll understand it better someday when I'm sitting in front of him in heaven and we're having coffee.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I've got a great idea. If I had a church, you know, in the entrepreneurial world, I have a website. In the online world, we give away like an ebook or an audio. If you do A, we give you B. If I was a pastor, I'd say, look, those of you, first of all, let's see a show of hands who tithes here. And then I have those that don't stand up. I have everybody tithe, and we will give away a super blessing that gets everybody into heaven, guaranteed. Okay, so if I ran a church, that's what I would be doing, kind of the online conversion entrepreneurial type of thinking. What do you think about
that?
Well,
it's along those lines. Recently, there are lots of churches around that have been doing a money-back guarantee. Test God. And if you don't see blessing, aren't necessarily financial all the time.
I love
if
that.
You can come to us after the fact and say, you know what? My family suffered even worse because I gave for the last 6 months.
Nice.
We'll give you all your money back. And, you know, it's one of those things. That's what Scripture says. That's what it's all about. It's really interesting because if you're doing it only to try and prove, you're probably not going to see any
like
blessing
anything.
Around. You know?
If you buy the product because you want to test the guarantee, it's right. The worst reason to buy the product. Right?
And it's tough.
What's the refund rate on that? Do you know?
I haven't looked. I don't know. I haven't had those conversations.
I love that idea. I love that idea, man. That's a money-back guarantee that if you give and it doesn't.
And that's where I came to that understanding. You know, I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and you know, he says lots and lots of stuff. But when he talked about tithing, it really hit me. Mm-hmm. It made it clear. He showed the Scriptures. He showed all these things. And then I felt the conviction.
Yeah.
I felt, holy cow, I am not doing what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And this is before I became any leader up front. And you know what? My family has changed because of it. The way my boys look at money, the way my wife looks at money. We have all gone in a different route because of the way we've come to a better understanding that it's not all about the money. Money's awesome. Money makes life easier. Yeah. It resolves a lot of issues, but it also brings up a whole lot of other issues.
That's great. I love that, dude. I love that. That's a great place to end the show on as well. See, we didn't hurt you too bad today, Matt, right? Your first time in the studio?
This was interesting, Sam.
You'll start. You'll lay in bed tonight and think, what did I?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to be replaying this and this.
Shane did.
Oh,
the first one, didn't sleep for a week. That's what we try to do. We try to take, and the enemy works through me to do the Everyday Saturday podcast, but that's not true. Hey, guys, it's been great, man. Matt Ball, pastor of Branches Church. Shane Harden, pastor of Branches Church. We go back a long way. I was just thinking of you guys, man. This is coming up on 10 years, you know, that we've known each other. And I think God has used you guys through me, you know, because let's face it, I'm a little bit of a different animal out there. But I think I also view this show and myself as a bridge, as a non-threatening way for people to find out more about God, how he's used me with the Everyday Saturday message and the Everyday Saturday platform, the most flawed human being on planet Earth, to get a message out to the masses that it's okay. It's okay to be human. It's okay to have questions. I hit you guys with some pretty good questions on a weekly basis, not because I want to – it's not Stump the Pastor show. It's because these are questions –
you don't have to search far to stump me. You don't have to.
Because these are questions that come to me, through me, to you guys, you know, because you don't have – you know, have access to all these people in the Everyday Saturday community. And I really do want to say thanks, man, for coming in and answering these and being genuine about it, because it does help. I get emails and I get tweets and I get feedback on this, and it's always 100% positive because you guys keep it real, man.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no problem at all. No problem at all. Guys, hey, it's Sam Crowley. Make sure you subscribe to the show. Go to iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating always. We appreciate that. Leave a great comment. You can check out Matt Ball, Shane Harden at branchischurch.us. Give them a little love online as well. They certainly deserve it. And for now, have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.